let's start with the growth of this initiative, which is pretty remarkable. Piloted in just 3 schools in 2012. Next school year, 22 schools will have it with over 4,000 students involved. Was this kind of growth expected this quickly?
Actually, it's a little bit stronger than expected. I went back and I looked at something I had written maybe 3 years ago, and they were talking about having 20 schools by 2020. So they are really moving ahead of schedule, 22 schools now, and more coming on board next year. So, it's definitely growing faster than expected, and for the most part, going pretty smoothly.
So what's driven that growth? I mean, just from your piece, it seems in some ways the response from students to and parents, a very positive response, has perhaps helped fuel that growth a little bit.
Absolutely. I think what the primary cause for the growth and for the success at this stage has been that this was a very intelligent rollout. It started as a pilot with 3 schools. They added 4 or 5 the next year, and they've been adding 4, 5, 6 schools each year. And with each year, as they start, the school gets a $10,000 planning grant from the Department of Education, and then $20,000 each year that they add a new grade. So there's a little bit of money behind it to take care of providing the essential supplies and materials. With the planning year, the school districts are able to let their constituencies know that this new program is coming, and do the internal publicity to get parents and families interested in it. And then, as I say, because it's being rolled out gradually, they're able to look and, how did things go in the other schools the year before, make the appropriate tweaks. And it's just been, well-planned, well-organized, and that helps generate positive feedback from the parents who are involved.
And I guess some of that positive feedback then winds up having the effect of people then wanting the program, other schools clamoring perhaps to get the program, saying, hey, I heard this other school has it, why don't we?
Well, I think one thing, broadly speaking, in terms of Delaware, with the choice program, families have become very accustomed to being able to pick the school that their children are going to attend, regardless of what the so-called neighborhood school might be. You can move out. It's not all that difficult to move outside your attendance zone to get a special program. So when they do hear of one that's new and seems to be successful, that's fairly nearby, there seems to be an interest in that. And then certainly there's a bit of competition among the districts. And if your district doesn't have an immersion program and you're losing students through the choice program to a district that does, you're going to want it, because you want to keep those students in your district.
As successful as this has been, it hasn't been for everyone, correct?
Yeah. There are people students who do drop out of it. One of the key reasons that students have dropped out, it's been they move. If you move out of that attendance zone, out of that district, and into an area that doesn't have an immersion program, that's going to cut down the numbers. There have been situations where children haven't quite been able to keep up, and they've been able, the parents have decided to pull them out of the program. The school officials that I've talked to have said that the primary reason for the attrition has been students moving out of the area rather than a dissatisfaction with the program. Yeah, so even if people are leaving because their child isn't doing well, it's not necessarily because they don't like the program. It's just that every once in a while you do find a program where it's not a great fit for your kid. That happens. The flip to this, though, is that the way these immersion programs work, you can't bring in new kids to replace those that leave when you're at the second, third grade level, because if you haven't had the groundwork, the foundation laid when you were in kindergarten and first grade, you can't walk into it in third grade and be able to pick up Chinese the way somebody's already been studying it for 3 years has.
You literally have to start at square one to be part of the program.
Yeah, pretty much. They say that that you will in most of the districts, and whether it's Chinese or the Spanish, they suggest that if you haven't gotten in by the middle of first grade, it's really too late. By second half of, even at second half of first grade, coming in cold, you're not going to be able to catch up.
So this all started in the elementary schools, obviously at the kindergarten level, square one. And throughout the elementary level, it has been learning it at a 50-50 rates. 50% of the day in English and then 50% of the day in either Spanish or Chinese. Now the first students of this program are getting into the middle school level. How's it going to work there? Is it going to stay at that kind of ratio, or will things change as they move up the ladder a bit?
Well, the middle school situation is really 2 years away. Actually, the first group of middle school students from Lewis Elementary in Spanish in Wilmington will be starting next fall, but then, and the larger numbers of students the year after. The way they intend to work it is that the immersion is going to be 30% of your day in middle school, and at the middle school level, you will take a language arts course in your immersion language plus one of your core subjects. For 6th and 7th grades, the plan is for it to be social studies, and then for 8th grade, it would be your science course. So you would take those two classes in your immersion language and the rest of your middle school program in English. So that's how the plan would work for the middle school level.
And beyond that, as they move into high school, how will things work at that point? And I guess at that point, as your article mentions, it becomes an opportunity then for really start looking ahead to college level work and college credits.
Yeah, it's to some extent it's too early to say for sure, but the framework that the state has established at this point calls for the ninth grade year to be one where the students are fairly intensively working to take the advanced placement exam in their immersion language. And of course, if you take the advanced placement exam and score a 3, 4, or a 5, which are the top three grades on there, you've got the potential for earning college credit. So you've got that taken care of in the ninth grade. And then what they're looking at for grades 10 through 12 is a collaborative arrangement with the University of Delaware, and Department of Education people are already starting to talk with UD about this, where UD would design college-level courses that students could take in high school on a dual enrollment basis so that they would get high school credit, foreign language credit, as well as college credit if they pass the courses. If they take what DOE is describing as essentially a full load, followed through the language for 3 years, grades 10, 11, and 12, they could conceivably be close enough to having a minor in that world language accumulated enough college credits by the time they graduate from high school.
As there's been this expansion, as we look forward to middle school and high school versions of this program, has there been any difficulty finding teachers, or is that a possible problem as not only the program has expanded at the elementary level, but as we start looking down the road to how it works in middle and high school?
Well, finding the teachers is always an issue, and the principals who were participating in schools knew that going in. It's not like you've got typical English-speaking teachers who are natives of the United States, maybe Delaware, Pennsylvania natives, who come here and expect to make a career of it and stay here for 20, 30 years at the start. You've got there are arrangements made to bring in teachers from Spain, from Spanish-speaking countries, and from China. And when they come in, for the most part, they're on student visas or temporary visas. They're allowed to stay here for 2 or 3 years, and then you've got visas expiring and the like. So there's always going to be a reasonable amount of turnover anyhow. So you take that turnover and you add to that the fact that you're adding more schools, which means a need for more teachers, and you're adding a grade level a year, and you've got, I don't want to say it's a geometric proportion of increase, but there's a need for a significantly more teachers each year. And so they've got to go and recruit. They've got need to expand the agreements that they've made with organizations in other countries to bring the teachers in, and then on top of that, Colonial, for instance, is competing with Christina, which is competing with Caesar Rodney, etc., to get the teacher that they want for the need. There are ways that they're looking for to, you know, to work around that. There are certainly any number of well-educated professionals in the state of Delaware who speak Spanish or who speak Chinese. And there's a possibility, certainly, that some of these folks might not be working. They might be stay at home parents at this point. They might eventually be looking for another career, and perhaps that becomes part of the field of potential teachers as this program continues to grow.
So the biggest champion of this program, former Governor Markell, is now gone. What are the prospects for it under Governor Carney in terms of what's going on now and further expansion? Is he supportive of this?
As far as I know, the governor is supportive, but how that support translates translates a good choice of words here is still a little bit open to question. You have to realize that for this program, there is no special state funding other than the little startup funds that are available each year. The teachers are paid for out of the regular state unit count formula, and there's really no need for additional teachers here at this point. But in terms of teachers beyond what the unit count allows, but in any event, there. Certainly a feeling at the district level that it would be nice to perhaps have a little bit of additional support. But in terms of how Governor Carney will respond, the hope among some school officials is that he will find a way to ensure that some more funds are plugged in here and to ensure that the program does remain sustainable. And hopefully that might involve finding a way to support additional teachers.
Is there a point where the program just kind of naturally levels off? I mean, there's no sense that eventually every student in the state is going to be doing something like this. Is there a point where once it kind of moves up the ladder in terms of K through 12, that it's just stabilizes and plateaus?
I would suspect that is the case. I mean, pretty much the same as vocational education isn't for everybody. International baccalaureate programs aren't for everybody. AP classes aren't for everybody. You've got about 15% of the kindergarten students in these participating in the participating districts already enrolled. So that's a pretty good sign. I suspect that with the expansions that are planned, we might very well have one third, who knows, maybe even one half of our students involved in immersion programs. If you roll this out for another 10 years or so, but I don't think it's going to be for everybody.